It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Nancy, this is the week we get back on track.
Oh.
Is that a thing?
Did we go
getting
off track?
Getting on and off track.
I did not know we went off track.
See, where everyone else calls it erratic, I call it a rhythm.
Anyway, I'm the last to know.
The pivot is the posture, for those of you who know the show. Good morning, everyone, and happy Sunday, and happy 4th of July weekend. This is exciting. This is the official, this is the Super Bowl of summer in our area.
You are extremely happy about this morning.
I am, and I feel like I kind of ran the shows out of order.
Oh.
Last week, I
you
was
got in
supposed
trouble,
to.
Did you?
I did. This is when you hire really, really good people to do really, like, really people who are much better at you than doing things that you could do on your own. And you literally
don't do what they
just
say.
Just pivot. Yeah. You just, like, don't do what they say. And
sorry, girls.
Yeah. It's interesting when, you know, you grow in as an entrepreneur and as a business and, you know, you hire great people to do things again. To do things better than you can do them on your own. And this is where I did not follow my own.
They should send me the topic ahead of time.
Yeah, you know what?
Because at least I could attempt to get you on track.
Yeah, this
I'm
is.
Not
no, I think what's
anything.
Great is, so last week, for those of you who don't know, I covered a show that was just called Ultimate Summer Lemonades, colon, You're Welcome. And the reason you're welcome is because I basically broke down the summer lemonade for you people. And I said, here's how you make both non-alcoholic and alcoholic versions of some amazing lemonades. And
right.
If you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to that show, go back on either Lake 96.1 or Spotify and you can listen to the show and you can begin to add those into your summer repertoire, right? If you will. So
choices.
Everybody
choices.
Likes choices. So listen, the topic for today is a celebratory one.
Last week's topic for today.
Yeah, last week's topic that's now going to be this week's topic is a celebratory one because you know you've heard me talk for, I think you in particular because you get to see me almost every week. Mm-hmm. And you get to hear every show.
Right.
Yeah. So you know.
I mean, I hear most of it.
Yeah, you're
I feel
my
like,
most
right?
dedicated listener.
Actually, yeah.
Welcome.
Number one fan
right here sitting across the control board from me. But you've been on this journey every week with me on
long
the radio.
Time, yeah.
And you've seen my team and my business. I mean,
evolve.
It's hard to believe we've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe that, you know, like I was 46 when I started on the radio with you and
yeah.
I'm 56. Like that's weird. For
that
you
is
and
weird.
I. And you and I have shared.
Because that means me too.
And you and I have shared a bunch of both, you know, professional and personal journeys. You know, it's like we were always checking in on and I love seeing you every week and
I love
that
you
produce this show and you've seen this evolution. So it's very fitting that you're able to share in this moment where I talk about this topic, about this revolutionary service firm that we've created. What it's about to do and the way it's in so many profound ways doing exactly what I thought it was going to do and more. See, it's very rare that as an entrepreneur, what you envision actually manifests itself.
Right, exactly.
In what you believe is pretty close to what you had envisioned.
The dream, right.
And part of that's a really weird cocktail because, you know, everybody has these aspirations in life, you know, and whether you're young or old, I think the key thing is to keep being aspirational as you age. I think the tendency as we age is to let our dreams just die and sort of fall by the wayside.
Well, like, we get exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the sadness in it, right? Mm-hmm. I've never believed that. The aspirational part of me definitely is born of my blank canvas artistic mindset, which is I wake up every day and it's a new opportunity to do something great.
Right.
And whether that is great in design or that's for someone else or that's, you know, like whatever the mission is, I've learned that it changes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it has to.
Your priorities change, but your purpose and your vision sort of stay relatively the same, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
makes sense.
No, I don't say the same. They're always there. The vision changes.
It's a lot of times it's the path that has to change.
Well, and the people.
Right.
And so where I've landed in this moment is surrounded by this team that has started to grow in their voice of wanting to know where they fit, express where they fit, but then also saying, here's where you probably fit best. Because I think, of course, naturally, I think I fit everywhere. Because that's the nature of the entrepreneur, right? Like you grow it. The hardest thing is to divorce yourself from that, and when the service outcome becomes something that you didn't expect, you get frustrated because you might have handled it differently. But when the service aspect begins to become something you couldn't have envisioned and certainly couldn't have completed on your own. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a repetitive culture of fine-tuning, refining, improvement, expression, action. Action is big because a lot of people talk a good game when it comes to doing big things versus like also people who like, okay, I see the big picture, I'm behind it. You just got to tell me how to reverse engineer it and help me there. So it's this weird space that you find yourself in. It's strange and exciting simultaneously.
Sure.
But then when you get there, like we've arrived, we launched our press release on our new revolutionary service model, which, by the way, if you haven't gone to thedesigncoach.com, I would encourage you to do so. We revamped it about 3 weeks ago and have been making some minor tweaks to it. Yeah. One of the things that we did is we were trying to take this service model that, for those of you who've been listening to the show, you hear me sort of mention these things, Nancy, but this was the first time I had ever really distilled it down to the sequential service model that actually... It's like a circle, like it's perpetual. Like in an ideal world with our clients, it just sort of keeps going.
Right.
And it ebbs and flows with how much, you know, the projects that they have and, you know, what they're looking to try to achieve. But it keeps the relationship going. And we're here and we're staffed. We're planned. We have the tools. You know, obviously you've heard me talk about the vault. So we have the home.
Right.
Now we're just getting after it. And what I find is really, it's very interesting. You know, it's almost like I'm outside the vision now. Like, it's almost like, you know, a lot of times the vision is in your mind. It's in your mind, you know, and then you're just trying to explain it to people. And because sometimes it's really abstract and artistic, you do a horrible job doing it. Then you get frustrated because they can't see it. You know what I mean? It's like trying to explain this design, this abstract design of a room to a spouse. You know, sometimes the spouse needs to see it. Sometimes the partner needs to see it. In fact, in most cases, they need to see it, right? Because when you're the visionary, you need to not just use your mind and your mouth to communicate it.
Right.
You actually need to put process in place. You need to find the right people, and you need to really, really fine tune and collaborate in ways that I haven't really ever really had to before.
For sure.
Because the canvas isn't mine alone anymore.
Right.
The people responsible for creating the service outcome are teams of people who are dedicated to service to clients. And the revolutionary service model, which I kind of want to walk everybody through, has completely transformed and is transforming, I think, the way people think of the interior designer. And it's more like, if decorator is what you have in your mind, we are the furthest thing from that. And although the business started in the decorative contracting roots and has taken over 25 plus years, all of these different paths, where we've landed that I want to outline today on the radio is this revolutionary service model that, as we speak, this past week and next week and moving forward, is absolutely delivering things like summer.
Right.
The summer experience, enhancing the design through the lifestyle and the utility and the maintenance of the home, allowing us to continue the journey with the clients well beyond when they did the remodel or the build.
Right.
And therefore the relationship isn't ending. It's just the next really cool idea we can come up together to enjoy the asset and the home that they've created with us.
Do you have people that you did? Now you've
started this. I could not have dreamed
this.
I could not have dreamed
it. Right. But you started this particular aspect of the design coach just within the last, really honed it within the last year, two years.
Really, well, honed it over the past two.
Right.
Really only conceived it over the past two and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you find that people that you did remodels for or design for from like 4 or 5 years ago have called about this service? Or is it just mostly the people like moving forward that you add this option on? I mean, I would imagine that people from 5 years ago are like, hey, we've still got this. Come and help us with this party. Come and show us this. Come and do, because now that maybe wasn't an option when you did the work for them.
I had two things that we were fighting to build it. And I'll describe that to you, because then I can answer your question this way.
Okay.
We have a group of clients out there who visited our retail spaces over the past 15
years. Ah, right. I forgot about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Who only know you as a store.
Right.
That dabbles in design.
Right.
Well, that we were far from that. We haven't been that for a long time.
Right.
In fact, we've been doing full service interior design now for 15 years. So we haven't been the little store on the corner for quite some time.
Right.
Yet sometimes you're trapped in the lens and the paradigm of when people last had a contact with you and they remember you doing that.
So it's like an actor gets stuck in that kind of bit every single time.
Or if you're not in enough movies, they just remember the one movie you did.
Right. You're Spider-Man. That's
it. And they don't know the other films that you did. And then there's the clients who, when we started doing the full service model, and we were deepening the relationships, working on multiple homes across the country, that was really the foundation of me saying, okay, I know that this model, this revolutionary model that absolutely not only helps people design or conceive, design, and then enjoy their homes mm-hmm. was possible. I saw it because I was like, oh my gosh, like they're asking us to do all of these other things. We know the house best. We know the client best. How can we be sort of like, you know, the connection point
right.
to getting them an elevated lifestyle within the asset and the home that they've created? It's exciting. Like
right.
I said, I couldn't have dreamed it up this way.
Right.
But I also couldn't have dreamed that I would have become artist turned interior design professional. Like I couldn't have planned that either.
Right. Well, no dream. You don't have a dream when you're this age and still have the exact same dream.
But what has kept it consistent is as I've aged as a professional and as a person, I've just stayed aspirational. I've just
exactly.
stayed excited about the next big idea.
Right.
And I think there's a lot that carries that through. Well, what I've learned is you can have as much aspiration, as much enthusiasm for an idea, but it doesn't mean anything unless you can put it into practice. Mm-hmm. And that's where the team comes in.
Right.
Right. And then their ideas feed an even better outcome. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this revolutionary service model. I'm going to break it down for you because it's really exciting. And if you haven't heard about it yet, I think, Nancy, to answer your question, this is the official launch okay, of this revolutionary service model right here on Lake 96.1. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, and happy 4th of July weekend. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, also available on Spotify. Make sure you go back and listen to that Ultimate Summer Lemonade Show. I'm just letting you know, do yourself a huge favor, okay? And you've been coached, okay, on lemonades. I'm just saying.
Delicious.
So good, so good. And then what's great is I've turned those into spritzes, too.
Ooh.
You know, you just add, a lemonade could kind of be turned into any version of a sangria.
Absolutely.
Like at any given time.
Right.
You just keep throwing enough citrus in there, I think you're going to be good.
There's never a wrong way to drink lemonade.
Yeah, I get it. Well, listen, welcome back, everyone. We are talking about the official launch of the revolutionary service model that we've created at The Design Coach. And this is really the first time I'm going to break it down, I think, in depth. For what does the sequence look like?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly why we think it's revolutionary, and also what we're hearing from other industry partners as to how bold and exciting and different it is. Mm-hmm. And I can provide examples of that. That it's not that we're just doing it; it's that we're doing it all well.
Right.
Right. That,
well, yeah. Why bother?
You know, we're not
you're
a
not
jack
gonna
of all
right.
trades. Right.
Right.
In fact, that is actually, that quote is often misquoted. It's actually a compliment, right? Because the phrase also is, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, and that's not the quote. You know, the quote goes on to go, jack of all trades is being better than a master of one. So in other words, knowing how to do lots of things is better than knowing how to do one thing well. Mm. I would rather be able to do lots of things from a utility and life perspective.
Right.
Okay? And do lots of things. I just believe you can do lots of things well. I also believe you can master lots of things.
Right.
Okay. I don't believe you just have to master one thing.
Right. Nobody goes down one path.
I don't think so. No. And I also think that life is like design is a layered process. I'm going to say that again. Life, like design, is a layered process. You know, your experience, your lens, your insecurities, the ones that come out, the ones that melt away, your confidence that grows over time is actually one of those things that actually, when we talk about as you get older, like we did in the last segment, where your aspirations as you get older kind of evaporate,
mm-hmm.
you know? How do you stay an idea-minded, aspirational person? Because there's a natural enthusiasm to that. When you still think the canvas can still be written, or the book can still be written, or the mm-hmm. canvas can be painted, mm-hmm. you feel a sense of euphoria there where it's like, well, why not? Why not me? Why not now? And where we've landed at the Design Coach in this particular moment is in the very place that we thought we would be, and in so many ways where we couldn't have imagined. That, I think, is the exciting piece of this is we could not have imagined we'd be here. In other words, it doesn't look exactly the way that we thought it was going to look, but what it does do is it does give us the confidence to say every day we're coming into work and saying, well, how could we have improved that? And so it's not just becoming an aspirational vision that came to life in my mind. It is becoming an aspirational, or it's just becoming a reality because of the people who have bought into it and are creating it and are 100% making it happen.
Right.
And I think that is, you know, we tend to really love what I'm going to call, you know, the lone wolf, I don't know, mindset. You know, there's this thought that, you know, well, if I can't get people to do it the way that I would do it, then it just won't be done. You know, that might be true in some professions, but when you're trying to do big things like we do in interior design, construction and building, and then also lifestyle management and maintenance, there's just no way.
Right.
One person has enough bandwidth for that.
No.
And the team that we've assembled who is currently working with us in this space, it's important for you guys to understand where these relationships emanate from. It's also important for you guys to understand like what the next step is. Like, in other words, how does our sequencing work to get our clients to this lifestyle partnership that where we find ourselves now? And I think you'll realize that it's a very intuitive move. It's not a move that like comes out of nowhere. Because if you try to put a label on it, like I've heard things like, well, now, oh, you guys are doing event planning now? Like, it's like, no.
That's not
what we do. What we do is we help our clients who want to throw an event. We help them assemble the team and then use the home properly to then facilitate that moment.
Right.
That's different.
Way different.
Way different. It'd be like saying, oh, so you guys paint houses now because you do house maintenance? No. We manage the people and the schedule and the finances associated with having to manage multi-million dollar properties.
Right.
Okay.
Not
that are sophisticated right. ecosystems of technology. Right. So it's like to make it to boil it down, right, to we're a house manager, or to boil it down to you're a decorator, or to boil it down to whatever you want to boil it down to is way too much of a dismissive and simplistic approach.
Right.
We're gonna rectify that on today's show. 90% of our clients start in what I'm gonna call the DB space, design build. 90% of our clients come to the Design Coach because they have some big vision that they want to come to a reality. Some amazing journey that they feel leads them to this outcome of something they've always wanted to build and to see come to life. In many cases, it's a generational heirloom play where they're doing these projects because they want them to not just enjoy them for the next 15 years, but maybe the next 50 and beyond, even beyond maybe even my lifetime.
Right.
Like we're working on projects now where the kids are younger. The children are going to take over this property. And, you know, I hope the Design Coach is still around servicing them. Right.
Of course.
Down the road.
Right.
And so when I really sort of think about the perpetual nature of what we've built, it gets really exciting. But it's important for you to understand where it emanates from. It emanates from the beginning. On paper. In a moment where it's clay, soft clay on a wheel that might not even be spinning yet.
Mm, Right.
It's just a hunk of clay, right, which represents the hopes, the dreams, the aspirations, the money, right, the time, the energy, the effort, just all jumbled together. And then in the beginning, it's the design coach's job. It's really our responsibility to sort of take that and say, okay, listen, you're going to need a lot of hands on this clay. You alone can't do it. The design coach alone can't do it. So what is the team going to look like to be able to assemble this big vision and make it a reality? And that starts with identifying the architect, the resources, the builder, or the remodeler, and assembling the creative team and the technical team that you believe is best suited to pull off this particular vision. And every client's vision has been different, which I love. You know, we've talked a lot, Nancy, about how, you know, how I don't like formulaic style design sales. I feel like that's just, I want to design for people and not projects, and everyone's different. And so, you know, someone's version of an equestrian, you know, conference center meets family retreat. Okay.
Right.
And agricultural experience.
Like a cafe gymatorium at a school.
I don't, whatever, like it can't whatever. Be
all,
like,
no,
like,
there's no all purpose.
No,
to
no,
anything.
It's like everything's multi, but that vision is then different from like, I want this ultimate, you know,
right.
Like Captiva retreat.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And all of those visions look different, feel different. Like, and I love that variety. I think that one of the things that I'm loving about what we do at the Design Coach a little differently is that we're not espousing a particular style. We are really trying at the design build phase to lay the foundation for what is your style.
Right.
What is your statement? Not my statement, not the statement you've seen me repeat in other homes, not the statement I can just sell you, but what is at its core your style?
Okay. You just said something there. You don't sell something, you create something.
Yeah, we don't.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. I have actually, as I think back at all of these shows and all of this time that we have spent together, you have never sold anything.
No.
You've created.
I don't have to.
100% of the time.
I shouldn't have to.
Right.
If I have to sell it, it's not right for you.
Right.
Because there's a lot of the design chooses the designer. In other words, what I mean by that is if I expose my client to enough of the things that I think are their style triggers, okay, they will gravitate toward the ones that naturally fit them.
Right.
And then the design really does sort of reveal itself. And if the client's fragmented in their style understanding, that reveals itself too. Our job is to try to keep it cohesive and tight and have them make good decisions through good coaching, which is exactly why we're named what we're named. We coach people. We don't have to sell them.
Right.
I don't have to sell my clients on doing big things. They already want to do big things. And that big thing could be just a big remodel.
Right.
It could be a second home, could be a third home, could be whatever they want to do. Could be a remodel of an office, of their corporate office. These are all types of projects that we've taken on recently that have helped build this model. And if 90% of our clients start in the DB phase, the design build phase always leaves something off the table until it can be transformed into the layering phase of design and decoration. One of the things that the DB team does that's so critical is we identify early the space planning of furniture. In a lot of models that are flawed, you will find that the space planning, the furniture fit piece, is sort of an afterthought from many architects and definitely many builders.
Right. Like, let's see what size the room is, then I'll figure out the furniture.
Yes.
No, that's a bad idea.
Which is not, that's not a way, well, it's not a way you build a tailored appointed space.
Exactly.
It is not the way you build a tailored and appointed custom home.
Right.
The way you do that is by packing in, at least within some sort of understanding of the way the room functions and flows, the balance between design and decoration and design build. So if in your design build calculus, you're not talking about furniture, both on the financial side and the functional side, you're not taking into account the totality of the build.
It's an incomplete plan.
It's an incomplete vision.
Right.
You have a beautiful new build. congratulations, now you need to go shopping.
Yeah, no.
That's not what we do with the design coach. Okay? What we do with the design coach on DB is lay the foundation for the lifestyle you want to live, having already baked in the functionality. So when we come back from the break, we're gonna move and transform in sequence in segment three of the show, and sequencing two, design and decoration. Where do you go after the build or remodel? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, and we're rolling out officially the launch of our revolutionary service firm, which is in full swing already this summer. So exciting. I want to give special thanks to Lauren Taylor, who is really our marketing and our lifestyle operations person, who has been doing such a phenomenal job helping us capture the complexity of this model and breaking it down. And if you go to our website, thedesigncoach.com, it'll walk you through in the services overview a step-by-step process for what we do and how we do what we do, which I think is very helpful for people. And I caught Nancy here. Nancy was actually on air just like scrolling through them, and I was wondering why there was dead air on the other side of the microphone. And it was because she was enthralled and knee-deep in the website.
This is what happens when you send me
I understand, but it's beautifully done and it's beautifully explained. And what I want to be able to do is and if you want to meet our team, you can go to the team page. I mean, just tool around. It's beautiful. The website's beautifully done, and kudos to her for actually making this reality.
I mean, I do realize now that you do have a couple of new people that I have not met.
Oh, you do? We'll talk that through.
They're going to need to come in.
Actually, I think we need to kind of like, quote unquote, soft B baptize these people. Like,
yeah.
Here on the radio.
Like we could do.
Lowercase b, of course.
Like we could bring like several of them in and do one segment with
each
person.
I think that'd be great. I want to move in segment number three here because I only have four. boo. I only have four. And so what I want to do is I want to wrap a bow around DB, which is design build, and I want to just read from the website here briefly. It's just the snippet, and then I want to springboard into the next sequence of where the design coach goes after the build.
Okay.
The design build can be summed up this way. It's the foundation of legacy living. 90% of our projects begin in this space. This business unit forms the architectural and creative foundation for our client relationships. Did you hear what I said there?
Yes.
The relationships. The project will come. The relationship is what matters most.
Exactly.
To us. It combines technical expertise, artistic leadership, which means we give you courage, okay, to do things you wouldn't normally do, resources you wouldn't normally think of, which
confidence.
Is why I don't want you doing formulaic cookie cutter design off Instagram.
Right. It's confidence, okay? In your own.
Right. And strategic project management to fully integrate the design build process. Okay. Now let's talk about that. When we do the design build and while we're making selections to craft this vision, whatever that vision might be, we are also having a concurrent process to talk about how the puzzle pieces fit together from a style and function perspective, which means the furniture doesn't come later. The furniture comes at the DB stage.
Right.
How do you know if your primary suite or your kitchen or your bar, or your entertainment space, or your outdoor kitchen, how do you know it's going to function exactly the way that you want it to if you haven't accounted for the furniture?
Well, I mean, the basic...
Which is at least half of the experience.
Well, right. So, like, but I mean, the basic thought process to that, logically for anybody, is if you want this, your space has to be big enough. I mean,
no doubt.
I mean, that's
and
just
all too often in the DB, in the design build space, we're presented with architect or builder's plans that are insufficient and don't really meet the vision.
Right. Shape,
and the clients think
size,
it does.
Whatever.
The clients come to you and be like, well, this is, I've spent all this time putting this together. I'm like, well, that room's too small. That closet's all wrong.
Exactly.
Right.
Wrong spot.
Because they didn't have the design and the artistic leadership.
Right.
Baked into the plan. They only had the technical expertise.
Right. Doors, okay, in the wrong place, all kinds of stuff.
Whatever that might be,
right.
Let's just assume that all of that is correct and that we've guided you and are beginning to guide the client through this design-build relationship. And then we're concurrently having a style, okay, conversation with the design decoration team.
Okay.
We are one of the only firms that makes this distinction between design-build and design decoration. They are different disciplines.
Much different.
One has a technical aspect to it in design build, which requires a different design eye than the soft and amazing eye that it takes to layer a space to completion. Artwork, accessories that are meaningful, not placeholders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. Accessories that are meaningful, not placeholders. Okay. Art that means something that's not a placeholder.
You don't just fill a spot.
Furniture that is tailored and curated for your body, like a suit. Okay.
See, that makes sense. People don't think about that either, right?
Right.
They don't. Yeah. Or why buy a love seat?
I mean, let me tell you right now. Go ahead and go buy all your suits off the rack.
Right.
You do the same thing with your furniture.
Right.
You just whatever's available on the floor, or whatever you can find while you're shopping. This is a different kind of experience in design and decoration. These selections are tailored for you.
And people are too impetuous. They want it right now. And that's why they do that. And they don't understand the value of patience mm-hmm. and waiting for what you want. Don't buy it off the floor. Order exactly what you want.
Listen, if you strike gold with a sale, fantastic. But it's only because you were able to take advantage of it because you already had a plan.
Right.
You can take advantage, but most people, when they buy stuff on sale, they didn't have a plan. They're like, I think that'll fit.
Right.
And they take a measurement, like, and then there's even worse, the hope it fits.
Right, yeah.
Right? I don't care, I got it on sale. And then all of a sudden, that sale item becomes the 15-year placeholder.
Right.
And you never got around to implementing the vision and layering the right decoration.
But you feel, you guilt yourself into using it. Oh, well, I spent the money
all
on
the time.
I got it on sale. And so
all the time.
I have to incorporate it. No, you don't.
Right.
Don't do it that way.
So we call design build the foundation of legacy living, because it is. It's foundational, but it's not the end. See, what people end up doing is they end up after the design build being like, okay, we're good. Like, we don't need to, we don't need to decorate.
We just can do the rest.
We just want to, quote unquote, get in. That is the worst thing that I can think of when you haven't done enough of the decoration to at least make it starting to feel like you. The second sequence in our service offering here is called Design and Decoration, and the title is Curating Soul and Story. That is our approach. We're not looking to sell you furniture. That's part of what we do. We broker furniture.
Sure.
But we're looking to create and craft furniture that fits the vision. It's a different approach. Literally on the website, the objective is to be invited to complete the interiors following design build. See, our goal is to crush the DB exercise on such a level that why we're developing the style, we're just the natural choice to say, well, of course you would layer it because you're intimately involved with everything that I want in it.
Right.
You help me make it happen.
Right. Start to finish.
Start to finish. That starts with an exploration of style that is really exciting, because what we're doing on the design build side is, while that's happening and the design build's coming together, the DD team, all under, again, my leadership, and because you get to work with me on all of these phases,
right?
I then pivot to the design decoration team to say, okay, let's harvest the textiles, the furnishings, the style cues, and let's have the client go through that journey. Okay.
Right.
That complements the items that they selected in materials in the DB. So there's a natural visual link, a natural aesthetic connection between your design build and your decoration. And that decoration goes way beyond furniture. It goes into heirloom pieces that the clients have owned in their families for years that we have had reframed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to talk about what I framed this week that was the most exciting piece of history I think I've ever framed.
Yeah? Why can't you talk about it?
I can't, because it's just, I want to nod to it because they may be listening, and I just want to let them know how special it was to be a part of that. I mean, we're talking about a family heirloom that's been with them for a long time and means so much to them.
Uh-huh.
That just to be able to play a role in that. And listen, we're talking like 2 or 3 years past the build, right?
Right.
Like to continue to layer the story.
Right.
This is where design and decoration can take time. Because to get to a finished version of home never really happens. Okay?
No.
You hit plateaus of design and decoration that are acceptable before you move to the next plateau. Obviously, the first one is functional furnishing. Okay?
Right.
If you can accelerate the process with a good budget process and it can be budgeted for after the design build, and we do encourage our clients to do this, budget for your finishing as far as you can take it after the build. Because what you will get is a complete home upon move-in.
Right.
Or as complete a home as you can afford at the time at move-in. And invariably what our clients say is, I want to get to a level of finish where I then can do it as pleasure and discretion versus have to.
The fun part.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's fun because then it's fun. It's interesting how often the decoration extends. Like they'll find artwork that they purchased and they'll bring it and they'll say, I don't know where this is going to go, but I know you could find a place for it. I know you'll know where it goes. Yes, you in the front.
You're going to be very proud of me.
Okay.
So, for instance, my remodel of my 140-year-old house, I have designated an area that is house history.
Yeah.
Okay?
So
things
cool.
That we found in the walls, you know.
Wow.
I mean, just wild
That's
stuff.
That's exciting.
One of the things that I came across on the internet was an original drawing of the house, but an assessment of the house.
Oh, wow.
From the sidewalk to the road, you know, like...
Like a plat of survey.
Exactly, the plat. Pencil drawn, compass, protractor.
Yeah.
All the handwritten.
The old blueprint
completely
vibe.
Completely right. Mm-hmm. So I found it. I saved it.
Good for you.
I'm going to enlarge it and frame it. And it's going to be part of the house curating, history stuff
curating,
that I found.
Curating soul and story.
Yes.
We have to stop thinking about quote unquote decorating.
Right.
Think of yourself as curating soul and story. And what we do with the design coach, and this is what it says on the website, the objective is to be invited to complete the interiors following the design build. And technically, it's sort of like during.
Right.
Because at some point you make all your selections and the builder gets going and then you're like, okay, let's pivot. And it says here, once the architectural work is complete and the house is packed with materials, our team turns to the art of layering furnishings, textiles, and personality.
And it's almost like honoring as well. The word honoring could be
honoring.
Rumor. Right.
Curating spaces that feel as good as they look.
Right.
A couple key in that phrase, couple key words. One, personality. Obviously, the first one was curating. The second is personality. Mm-hmm. I have news for you. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again in this particular segment. Because sequentially we move from the design build to design and decoration, it's very difficult sometimes to put the personality in the DB, in the design build. There's only so many materials to choose from.
Right.
But the decoration is where you can explore the artistic side of yourself. It's where your personality makes it yours.
Yeah.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to then transform into the perpetual piece, which is this lifestyle and maintenance of it, to make sure that all the investment that you've made, all the energy and all the effort is meticulously maintained, properly cared for, with one easy button called the Design Coach. Mm-hmm. Stay with us. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. On that last segment, I'm literally stuttering. I'm so excited.
I know you are.
I couldn't even get all the words out at the end of that last segment. I was like, do. I just could not get it out.
Then you wouldn't talk in the commercial break.
So
I did this and did this, and you're like, I'm just ready. Right.
I'm excited that but here's the thing. I'm excited that at this stage of my career, I can feel as though I've never been more excited.
You know, because normally people our age, we're looking toward the end.
No.
Like we're on the downside, right?
No way.
I don't think either one of us are.
No.
And that's different.
No.
Way different.
No. I want to leave it all out on the field.
Right.
Right. As long as I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anyway, welcome back, everyone, and happy 4th of July weekend. It is segment number 4, sadly.
It is, sadly.
Man, no overtime here at the Design Coach.
No.
Unless you want to connect with us through the website, feel free.
Of course.
What I wanted to mention is listen, this design and decoration and design build synthesis that I talked about in the previous two segments is really important because although they're somewhat sequential, you know, it obviously starts with the design build piece. the design and decoration is its own art form. And it's as complex and in many ways much more personal than sometimes the design build in some ways. It gets to the actual tactile nature of the home.
Yeah.
Not that the design build doesn't. It absolutely does, but it's the way that those relationships play out in a room that make the room. We've often said, you know, no one says to you, hey, by the way, you know what? I got to compliment you on your house. I love your drywall. No one says you have amazing drywall.
Yeah, no.
What they say is, I love your millwork. I love your lighting. Mm-hmm. I love your tile. It's the surfaces where the art was baked in and the craftsmanship is baked in that matter.
Right.
And, you know, drywall for me is just another canvas for either a cool paint color or wall covering.
Just the base.
It's just a base, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, to me, if it's a base, in my eye, it means it's a canvas. Okay?
Everything's a canvas.
So I would encourage you as you think about the way decoration plays out after your remodel, right? If you were not fortunate enough to have hired this design coach team and our amazing team to put it together for you. If you didn't have the opportunity to do that, this decoration piece, you really have to think of it as curating your soul and your story as you want it to play out in your home. And if you're not doing that, then you're just sort of decorating with someone else's vision and skin and someone else's story, and definitely not your personality. We just don't have any interest in building spaces that are hollow.
Generic.
Yeah. It's just, why? Mm. Like, I don't know. Mm. I mean, Nancy, I want to hear about the weird beer can installation because you know me. I'm going to find a way to make it work. Okay. But as we talk in segment number four about this last lifestyle and maintenance support team that we've built, which is a fantastic team and a whole nother art form, what we've done here is we've said that most firms finish their relationship after the decoration. And until there's another project or some other layering need by the homeowner, I was finding that the relationships had took a serious dip. Right. After that.
Right.
Yet from time to time, I was getting these inquiries about like questions like, hey, how do I set up the dining room for this really big event that I'm having?
Right.
You know, how do I change my exterior groupings to make sure that I can accommodate this party we're having for this, you know, retirement or anniversary or whatever it was. And that was the genesis of the model. The genesis of the model was that we were handing over the keys necessarily, right, in a way, metaphorically. We were handing over the keys to these multi-million dollar properties without really ever giving a tutorial to help clients understand how to use them.
Right.
I mean, to this day, I still have clients that don't know how to use their appliances from previous projects. Right.
Yeah.
Even though we spent a ton of money putting them in.
Right.
You know, it wasn't at the time, it really wasn't our calling to do that. Well, now it is. Now we have a Wolf Sub-Zero Cove lifestyle team that will go into the home to teach you how to use that appliance.
Right.
Where do you find that?
All the bells and whistles. You got to know how to
Where
use them.
Where do you find that?
Nowhere.
And where do
Not
you find
Not even the people who
Where
sell
do
that
you find
you
that in
it?
Your traditional interior design
right.
firm?
Right. Nobody.
The answer is you don't,
right.
At least not right now, but you do at the design coach. Here's, I'm going to take this right from their website. Sustaining beauty and elevating daily living is their mission. Sustaining the beauty, the investment that you've put into it,
right,
and then elevating your daily living. And we do great events. We have a great event planners that we can connect you with to create great cocktail menus and experiences for guests, both large and small. We've done 4 events already this year. And are tending to homes on a daily basis to make sure that our clients are feeling and leveraging the beauty of their home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really,
How
why
awesome
make
is that?
Why make that investment if you're not going to use all of it?
One big easy button for luxury living.
Yeah.
Okay. It says this business unit transforms our firm from project partner to lifelong steward of our clients' homes. That's the goal. Lifelong steward, as long as they own them, of our clients' homes, protecting their investment and enhancing how they live within it every day. it's pioneering because interior design firms don't do this.
Right.
They will have a hand in a summer party. They will have a hand in event planning. But we're really looking at getting so granular down to the dishware. We get granular down to the appliance maintenance. We get granular down to the maintenance of the home inside and out, into the conversations with the cleaning crews about how to clean the home properly with the materials that are in it.
Right.
How to also do that in an eco-friendly way with less chemicals.
Organic.
Mm-hmm. We are getting to the point where, and our partners in this, and like, don't get me wrong, it's not that we have an in-house cleaning staff. Okay, just like, please don't call me to clean your house.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is for the clients that sign on with the design coach, where we've had a hand in crafting the vision, we want to help you then maintain it. We don't just want to help you decorate it.
Special
we want to help you maintain it and elevate your experience within it.
Right. It's special care for special products.
And special moments.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is because the maintenance and the lifestyle go hand in hand, I'm going to explain that to people on the radio today.
Okay.
What good is your multi-million dollar luxury investment if every waking minute you have to spend at it, you have to make phone calls to service providers to play catch up on your maintenance? How can you possibly spend half of your weekend or your week up at the lake, for instance, if you're chasing people to help you clean it, maintain it, stock it,
use it?
Why can't you just show up and have it be like you show up at a hotel?
Right. Ready to go.
We call that client ready. In essence, yeah. We call it client ready. Hey, is this home client ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To what percentage? We still need to do the following thing. Great. When's that going to be done? We then give the client visibility on that. Hey, here's what we worked on this week. Here's what we're working on next week. So they can dive in at any time to ramp us up or back us down.
Right.
Within reason.
Right. Well, yeah.
But that kind of stewardship, we're now doing and planning on doing on a national level. We know the model works. We're not guessing at it.
Right.
We're doing it. And we're doing it and perfecting it daily. We're learning where we succeed and where we fail on it. And have been doing that now for 2 years. You asked me earlier in the show, why have I exposed our other clients to the fact that we do this? And
right.
The answer has been no, not really. Because I wanted to perfect it. I wanted it to be not something we were trying on.
Right.
I wanted it to be something where I knew we could keep our promises. We've been fighting for that for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we've arrived.
Awesome.
We now have that package, that team, those people who are dedicated, okay, to maintaining the investment. Let's make no mistake about this. When these big projects are embarked upon, they are as much a financial consideration as they are an heirloom play or a beauty and aesthetic play.
Sure.
In fact, in a way, the investment that they're making, it should be a no-brainer that it's beautiful.
Right.
Right?
Well,
the no-brainer is that it should have quality in it.
They generally don't.
The no-brainer is that it's... Yeah. That, and as I've said in previous shows, big things are hard, people. They're hard.
But
our clients spend a lot of money putting these heirloom spaces together because they want them to be generational.
So worth it.
So we don't do staging.
No.
We don't do real estate staging. That's not what we do. What we do is homes for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who want to maximize their understanding of home. This new model, this revolutionary new model, and it's been interesting, when we got into Architectural Digest Pro Directory, I was very surprised at the editor's take, because the editor's take was fascinating. So when you apply to be in the directory, they look at your portfolio. Full disclosure, you do have to pay money to be in it.
Of course.
But they do absolutely review, and you know, like, your work has to be of the caliber of the directory. And we are honored, so honored to be with so many amazing designers, both in Illinois and in the Midwest and nationally. We're so fortunate to be a part of that. But the editor's take was this company goes far beyond the design, the typical interior design model, to deliver daily lifestyle elevation and living. That was the editor's take.
Aww.
They got it right away.
Yeah.
When we applied for ASID, American Society of Interior Designers designation, which we're also honored to have gotten.
And
we applied for our firm designation, and we were honored to be to be invited to have that firm designation. They're looking at it saying, this is a revolutionary new model. Yeah, we understand this. This is what we've been building toward, right? I can't encourage you enough to go to our website to not only look at the beauty of the spaces we've helped clients create, because remember, that beauty just doesn't come from our eye. It comes from the client's soul and the client's story. We can't take total credit for it. We helped them, right, build this beautiful thing.
I mean, what you did is you comprehend and understand their vision, and then you execute it, plus some.
It is so far beyond transactional at this stage.
Yeah.
Where our clients rely on us for things that I won't mention on air that are just like super personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just rely because they trust our team. And they also know that we're there to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That is such an elevated service model. It takes a special kind of team and a special kind of commitment and a special kind of crazy.
Crazy.
And I will say to you that I couldn't be more proud to have the team I have around me, to be able to share it with you this morning, Nancy. But if you want to understand exactly who the design coach is, and it's not me, it's us.
The team.
Yes. Listen, have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. Enjoy your Sunday, everybody. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Link 96.1. You've been coached.